The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
All right, welcome back to Mind Pump Radio. I'm here with Sal DiStefano, Justin Andrews, boom. And shit's about to get raw. So, We got a couple things I think we will definitely talk about, and some things that we probably have no clue that we're going to talk about. And you know, one of the things I want to kick us off with, since a lot of these people don't know that we all are a bunch of big children and converse with each other all day long, all the time via text message. And
we're on a group text.
Yeah, we're on a group text.
God forbid anybody ever finds that thing.
Three teenage girls.
Let me talk about group text for a second. It is the
lots of emoticons.
It's the coolest and stupidest thing that's ever been invented. Because those of you that are listening right now, if you guys don't, I don't know if every phone does this. If it's just iPhone, I'm sure Galaxy, all those other phones do the same thing, where you get a group text message where you and eight of your friends can all chime in. Now, here's the thing that's not fair, and what I don't like about it is, if you weren't the fool who started it, you're fucking trapped, dude.
Yeah, you're done.
You're never getting out. Yeah. You can't opt out. And so I happen to be in like three
library or church.
I've got my childhood best friends that we still communicate through Vietnam. All of us are connected when we talk. And then I have my fantasy football league, and then now I have you monkeys. And, sometimes these guys, two of these guys are, going back and forth till fucking 1 a.m. and I got to get up in 3 hours and my phone.
I like how your references to two people, like the two groups, my childhood friends,
right, yeah,
my fantasy
my
football league,
friends,
and you assholes.
Like, and then these assholes.
And these fucking assholes that I talked to all the time.
But,
I love them, man. I actually learned so much from group texting. First of all, I feel connected to the people I'm on the group text with. So I feel like we don't ever not see each other, which is good and bad. I mean, sometimes, I definitely want to see you guys, more often than we do. But then I learn a lot because we talk shit and bullshit probably 90% of the time, but the 10% of the time where we talk about good stuff, there's some good stuff that comes out of it.
Oh no.
Yeah. It's a petri dish for a lot of the ideas and stuff to grow. Right. So you're kicking all this stuff out there and we're kind of throwing it out, like even jokes or whatever it is, and see who's going to laugh and who's going to be like, oh,
I just
farted.
For anybody that knows me, if I ever die, something happens to me, take my phone, smash it. Don't ever look at those group texts because half the stuff I say is just
very incriminating.
Oh, it's just bad. It's just horrible. Yeah. It's the worst stuff I could. I mean, right.
If you don't know you would probably misinterpret a lot of it. I'm sure people would probably.
Because sarcasm doesn't really come through that well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they haven't come up with that font yet. They keep talking about it. Sarcasm font.
That's a great app right there, bro.
A sarcasm app?
Yeah,
but then it ruins it. Yeah. I like the fact that sometimes people are like,
did Sal
just really say that about midgets? Why would he say that on I've never said anything.
Hey,
about.
On
is that incorrect? That's a politically incorrect
that's
term.
That's not the right way to
dwarf.
Say it. Yeah,
small people.
Try again.
Smaller people.
Little person.
Right? I apologize. Little
pygmy.
Person. Little people.
No.
So
that's horrible.
So
that's wrong.
Talking about that, check this one out. We're not talking about technology and the whole group text message. I have one for you, and I know Sal will probably like nerd out on this one, Justin. So get ready for us here. So, what do you think is going to happen to this generation that's coming up, that's like it's become we're so connected to our phones. I see what it's turned me into, and I've seen the generation coming up. It's even worse. And this is a true story. Last week I was at sushi, and there's an outside patio, and I'm getting ready to walk in, and I walk past this family. It's a husband, a wife, and two children, and the son has got an iPad out, and it's on one of those kickstands. And he's sitting there playing a video game. The daughter is watching like, some Disney cartoon movie on her phone. And then both the parents are texting on their phones. So and literally everybody is staring at their phones.
It's crazy, dude.
And that, I mean, that to me, and I'm sure I've done that to my girl before and done that to friends before. Where I'm out at dinner and I've looked at my phone because I'm thinking about all the stuff I got to get done or work or whatever like that. But you wonder, like, it's going to be right now. It's so shocking. Right. But it's going to be, it's becoming more the norm. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, anytime something new comes out that everybody embraces, the people who grew up without it always look at it and say, oh, that's horrible, that's bad. Like when we were kids, if we watched a lot of TV, we'd get, oh, the boob tube, and your brain will melt. And what's funny
don't
now,
too close to it, and
right. And what's funny now is my son will be on the internet watching YouTube videos, and I'll be like, turn off YouTube and watch TV. Because I swear to God,
there's a difference. Yeah.
Because to me, TV is so familiar, and I watched it when I was a kid, and it's not bad or whatever. But I mean, the truth is that here's the truth about what's going on here with the internet and technology. Are there some bad things with it? Sure, of course. But throughout all of human history, anytime mankind, and you're right, I'm about to nerd out, anytime mankind made huge leaps in advancements, it came from increased access to information and the ability to spread ideas. Mm-hmm. So every single time, whenever ideas were able to be spread, whether because of horseback, you know, things could get passed back and forth, and when they built the first roads, or
pigeons and smokestacks,
right. Yeah. Ideas were passed back and forth because humans, you know, we're smart not because, yes, we are intelligent by ourselves, but really what makes humans so intelligent is our ability to retain information that was learned from previous generations, and the fact that we can share that information. So like the last major development for mankind was the Gutenberg printing press. The printing press was invented, and all of a sudden, the common man could get their hands on books. And before that, the only people with books were the nobles, was the church. They were the holders of information.
Wasn't it the monks were the only ones that really wrote it down?
It took thousands of hours.
But yeah, they had like people on shifts like writing over and over and scribing everything.
And if you wanted to know, you know, God, why is the sky blue, or why, you know, do certain things happen, you'd have to go to these people who control the information. Mm-hmm. So advancements were much slower. All of a sudden, boom, printing press was invented, and you have the Renaissance. You have the scientific method. Mm-hmm. You have all those things that led up to the Industrial Revolution. The first best-selling book when the printing press was invented was the Bible. But the second most popular book was Marco Polo's Travels.
Oh, yeah?
And that was a book that told people about Asia, told people all these different places, and it opened people's minds. Well, the internet is that times a trillion. Mm-hmm. Because now, all of a sudden, some dude in his basement who has a great idea can post it. Right. And everybody can listen to it. It could go viral within 2 days, and it's spread everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
And you think about how accessible it is. Like, these third world countries, people have cell phones. I mean, and they have access to the internet. They might not have running water.
So the question is then, what do you think? No doubt, and I 100% agree with you that it's exciting. It's awesome. I mean, I joke all the time about how, God, I couldn't imagine if I had Wikipedia and a cell phone at my dispense going through school. Mm-hmm. Like, you kids struggle to write a report. I used to have to read 4 books before I found the right one.
Oh, using the Dewey Decimal System.
Yeah. I had to read 4 wrong books to get to the right book so you could actually, you know what I'm saying, find the right information. Like,
it was so much harder to plagiarize.
Oh, absolutely. You know, these kids now, you get Google.
Copy-paste.
Yeah, right.
That's right there.
And even if it, maybe you, not even just copy paste, even if you actually want to learn, which is what I like to think I use it for now. If I have a question, that's the first thing I do.
Right away.
Instant, yeah. I'm researching it. I'm looking at different websites. I'm looking at different informations. I'm putting gas, and then from all the different possibilities that you can reach from and learn from, like instantaneously, you can become pretty knowledgeable about whatever that topic is that you're researching, like almost instantaneously.
Well, it used to be where what was important was you were able to learn information and store it. Okay, yourself, like you wanted to be a smart person, you had to read books, you had to learn it, and then be able to store it. Now it's changing. All of a sudden now, it's you need to have the ability to find information and then report it and communicate it. You don't need to know it. You need to be able to find it because it's so easy to find. So it's a different world. And what's interesting is you look at, you know, education. Well, the internet in general is the greatest decentralizer of power that man has ever seen. Yeah. It's decentralizing all power. You know, media. You wanted to get something on the news, you'd have to go to a major news station. Now you post it on YouTube. If it's like something from your cell phone, something crazy happened, everybody sees it.
Oh, yeah.
If you wanted to get into politics and you wanted to promote yourself, you needed millions of dollars. You needed to partner with corporations and do all the shady shit. Now you get a good message, you put it on the internet, millions of people can see it, you can have a lot of power.
Oh, yeah.
The future stars, the future communicators, the future celebrities, music, movies, education, all changing so rapidly that I think in 10 years, it's changing so fast that everything's going to be so different in 10 years. so many things are going to be unrecognizable. More things are going to, it's going to be more advancements. The next 10 years are going to advance faster than the previous 30.
Oh, I agree. I think you can tell it's compounding. You can see it in just in a short span of time right now. So the question is, though, there's no doubt. We know that's great, right? We keep talking about how great it is. But what is it? What damage can it be doing? And what it's going to do for like the social aspect? Because I think of the things that the qualities that you find in a leader, like somebody to lead, whether it be a company you're leading or if it's just leading your family or whatever it may be, the type of characteristics that make up a good leader. And, you know, a big piece of that is the ability to show the way, to be able to gather people's attention, to be able to communicate information really well. Like, and if we are so dependent on this tool that does all this thinking and communicating for us, do our future CEOs and of these huge Fortune 500 companies, are they going to be like that? You know, are they going to be antisocial retards really brilliant?
Well, that's what they, you know, that's what some people are worried about. But if you look at the internet, you look at technology, the most popular websites and apps are all social. That all they do is make people connect better, not deconnect. So, or disconnect. So think about Facebook, right? How many people do you keep in contact on Facebook that you wouldn't even fucking talk to if Facebook didn't exist, right?
Absolutely.
So it actually increases communication to the, you know, 10th degree. The negative that I see from the internet is its ability to track every damn thing you do. And in the wrong hands, that's scary.
Well, let's talk about privacy. I mean, do we really even have privacy anymore? Like, I've come to the conclusion that you just have to sort of let that go, let that concept go. I mean, that's a big thing that has changed over the last couple of years, where you put something out, it's there forever. Like, there's always going to be somebody that can store that, whether it's the cloud or whether it's, you know, on somebody's server or, you know, somebody's app that's you know, trying to get your personal conversations. They're tracking and they're trying to gather as much information as they can about everybody in order to, you know, in some sense, if you're looking at it in a positive way, they're trying to help narrow down like the demographics. So what they can actually promote as far as like products and, you know, like companies can utilize that information to give you stuff you're actually interested in.
Which is good.
Yeah. So that's a good thing.
I don't want to watch commercials for freaking tampons. I could care less.
Right. And I think the other thing is that like people are scared of it. And rightfully so. Like it's a paradigm shift. But at the same time, if you look at like how that can bring transparency towards other people in power, I like it. So I actually like the fact that, you know, something like Bitcoin is coming out of nowhere, and you can track, you know, all of your payments, all of the, like where it came from, like. Basically, you can run a trail for, you know, how you use it. So anybody that's like using this electronic currency can then kind of find out like where they've been spending their money. So let's talk about like politicians and, you know.
Yeah, you should
explain Bitcoin for most. Well, most people don't know what that is.
Right. Bitcoin, well, so really, go ahead.
We should have bought stock, by the way.
I mean, okay. I'll try to explain
it.
We
all should have bought stock.
I don't understand it totally, but I'll try to explain it. So it's basically an online currency. It's the value of all currencies are based on two things. Number one, the trust that people put in it. And then how much of it's out there, how accessible it is, right? So if there's $10,000 in the world, then $1 will be worth so much money. If we double the amount of dollars out there, then it loses its value. So that's how Bitcoin gets some of its value. Apparently, there's some code that spits out so many new Bitcoins, and eventually it'll slow down.
Right.
And so the value of Bitcoin is always going to stay high. They'll never inflate it.
They'll keep it, yeah, at a certain amount. So that way, right. Yeah, it retains its value.
It's kind of like PayPal on steroids. You know, that's what it is.
Kind of, well, but
PayPal,
it's its own currency.
PayPal adopted it.
Yeah. It's its own currency, though. So it's like dollars, except it's something called Bitcoin.
Yeah.
The thing about it is Bitcoin was the reason why people like it so much is because it's anonymous. You can buy drugs online. You can buy. And this is what people are doing. This is why people are freaking out is because they're buying all kinds of things on the black market online, because you can't, you know, you don't want to buy drugs online with a credit card, but you could do it with Bitcoin. And it's supposedly non-traceable.
But it is traceable, though.
this goes right up your alley, then you should love that for your whole free market mentality right
there. Oh, no. Let me tell you, us you're revealing too much about me. So, you know, us who are, you know, big supporters of free market decentralization, we love Bitcoin. However, there's these interesting rumors that are out there that Bitcoin is actually created by a government agency, let's say like the CIA, to see where the big drug dealers go.
It's always going to be a conspiracy.
They're always
to undermine.
And it's always some drug dealer who thinks of the conspiracy. He's high as shit off his own stash. And he's like, you know what Bitcoin is?
Yeah.
It's a more elaborate way to track us.
So, I mean, you know, with the internet, you have this incredible power to decentralize all powers, but you have this incredible power to track people and what they're doing. And here's something. I'm going to go really freaking far out. The conversation's about to get a little loopy, and I promise you guys, I'm totally sober. I haven't dropped acid or anything crazy.
Lay the knowledge.
You know, so we're so connected, right, to the internet. It's only a matter of time before we can connect. Let me rewind. Movements happen very quickly now. So like the civil rights movement, women's suffrage, these things took decades. Now you have, 6 years ago, most Americans did not support gay marriage. As a matter of fact, if you were a politician running for office in 2008 or even 2012 and you openly supported gay marriage, you probably wouldn't get elected. Today, the opposite is now true. The movement happens so fast, and it's because of the internet. Mm-hmm. That's the reason. Same thing with marijuana legalization. 2008, it wasn't a majority of Americans that supported marijuana legalization. Today, a majority of Americans support legalization, and in fact, it's probably going to happen eventually.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So movements happen very fast, again, because ideas and people are connected so easily and so quickly. So it's hard to push forward, propaganda or whatnot. Now, let's fast forward into the future. It's only a matter of time before we make our ability to connect the internet even easier. Maybe in the future, it gets to the point where you can think, and you can access the information on the internet. So it's an extension of your mind, which means all humans will be connected through internet.
So it's the hive mind.
I feel like we're connected.
No, I
so
this is great.
We've talked about all the
I'm on that level.
All the social, the economic reasons that this is so great and everything like that. But what about? I mean, so would you go to dinner?
Adam's like he's like the old man in the I don't know, guys. I just I like the old days where you're looking down.
Do not get me wrong. I mean,
eating your spaghetti,
I
like writing letters, and
do not get Pony Express, right? So don't get me wrong. I absolutely love technology. But I also find like I have to still find a little bit of balance because I see the things of kids playing video games so much they don't go outside and play. I see the parents with their children
at a table. We're going to change all that.
Connected to all these video games stuff like that, and they're not talking to each other. So the respect level that maybe the parents have, maybe these kids become they respect more characters that they know on YouTube. If you're, dad's telling me this, but dad's not that popular. But this guy over here, he's got a million followers. He must know what he's talking about. I'm serious. You think I have a 5 or 6 year old thinks like that? And does mom and dad start to lose power? I mean,
the same fears I think that people had with TV.
I don't know. I think that obviously these are things that we think about as parents too. Like, the generational thing, like where they have so much instant access to that, and how people are really focused on these social media avenues to build their popularity. So it's just a popularity issue.
Well, let me give you guys a great example, right? When we were kids in school, and I'm going to date us right now. I don't think anybody knows our age, but I'm going to date us a little bit. We had to learn cursive. Right? Why the fuck did we have to learn cursive? I'll tell you why. Because the older people are like, you fuckers need to learn cursive. Just like we tell our kids, you need to learn how to look shit up in a library.
Researching shit on the microfiche?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what the fuck that is.
Come on,
I don't remember.
No, all right, forget you guys. All right.
Are you older?
Google
than
that shit.
Let me Google micro what?
Microfiche.
Microfiche.
It's like this running newspaper ads
yes.
And then you scroll through and then you find.
I didn't know the name of that.
It's like learning typing. We're not gonna have to learn how to type real soon here. That'll be gone. Siri picks up everything I say. I don't gotta text.
When we were kids, we had to learn cursive when they should have fucking taught us how to type. that would have helped us way more going to school, right?
Yeah.
So it's like it's like us making our kids learn long division.
Wow. So UK, right off of what you just said.
Yeah.
So then take it to the next level. Learning how to navigate through your iPad and iPhone be part of your fifth, sixth, seventh, like part of your classroom.
Yes. Well, actually, listen, here's the thing.
I like it, dude.
The world is advancing so fast.
It's kind of like Star Trek.
Yeah, I think they should learn code. I mean, I was actually thinking about that with both of my sons. Like, hey, let's get them into code early.
Well, I think learning
You're just setting him up for his ass to get kicked, bro. Are you kidding me right now?
Yeah. What are you talking about? No, what used to be nerds are cool
listen,
now.
Listen, you guys like you are not going to exist, bro. Trust me.
Yeah.
We're dying. We talked about it, or maybe we didn't talk about it yet, but we should.
Cool guys are a dying breed.
We're a dying breed.
alpha male dying breed. We'll cover that in another episode.
We should.
But, you know, things are advancing so fast that if we set our minds to what we need to teach our kids today, now, you know, 5 years from now, it's going to be obsolete. So I think there should be more freedom in what kids should learn. I think kids... Yeah. Should dictate what they need, what they'd like to learn.
Ooh, that's great.
And we facilitate it rather than giving them the structure of you need to learn algebra one. You need to, why the fuck do I need to learn
the
algebra
liberal
one?
Arts degree? I think should just be completely obsolete. Like you said, you should really find out like what makes them tick, like what their interests are,
that's
and then
right.
foster it.
That's it, 100%.
Yeah,
and then you use the tool, the amazing powerful tool of the internet, as a facilitator and have people there guide them to learn. And what's going to end up happening, you're going to get more specialized learning and kids are going to, you're going to foster their talents rather than trying to force everybody into a box.
Well, I got one for you then. Check this out. So, and I'm sure, I don't even know this about either one of you and anybody who's listening, think about this for a second. And I'm sure your parents or your mother or father have told you at one point in your life when you were a child, they saw whatever strength that is probably present in you now. All the way back then. For example, for me, you know, I've led people in any position that I've done, whether any job I've done, I've always been in a leadership role and it just came natural to me, you know? And my mom will tell me stories. There's videotapes of me when I'm like 5 years old, gathering all the neighborhood kids, didn't matter if they were older or younger than me or what like that. And telling them what to do and not doing it in a dictatorship way, but I was always the kid who organized everything and
you sound
ran
like my
and
oldest, yeah.
Right. And you know, and my mom used to say she knew, you know, back then that's I would do something in their life. So imagine we have the resources, the tools to be able to see that even at a young age. Imagine being taught like getting all the books that I read when I was in my 20s.
Right. Stuff that you want to learn now.
Yes.
Right.
Because I learned that this is a strength of mine. But I didn't learn it was a strength of mine until growing up and getting older. Until you did a couple jobs that you didn't manual labor. Not this isn't much for me. Doing stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? I've welded, driven tractors. I've done all kinds of crazy stuff and construction and you know, did all these different things, right? And you know, and I've definitely think I'm a positive person, so I've learned to find what I've liked in all of it. But my true passion came when I started to lead people and I started real. But I had to learn that. I had to teach myself that that's what my passion was, and then really start to foster that and grow and educate there,
right.
Which didn't really start until my 20s. Imagine if I was getting fed that information in my youth and into my teenage years. Like,
well, what's the statistic about billionaires? How many of them have gone to college? It's something like very few.
Oh, it's like 20%.
Yeah, it's something like it's very, very few.
Yeah.
And that's because, again, school, I think, is designed for that middle ground, but if you're anywhere outside
school's
of that,
designed to produce professors,
yeah, oh, very good.
That's
and worker bees,
yeah, and worker bees. Yeah, right. For
actually,
corporations.
Here's something funny. For decades now, countries like China have kicked our ass in school and test scores, and yet, who's the biggest innovator? Who innovates the most?
We do.
Yeah, we do.
That's true.
So you get good grades, and look, I'm not knocking if you're one of those people. That's cool, but you know, you get good grades, you follow the rules, you do the system, whatever. You're going to work for someone who's the outside the box thinker.
Well, right? Justin, elaborate on professors. Cause I agree. That's how I feel too. Like, you, I mean, when you say that, like, what comes to mind? Like, that's
well, as far as like you know, the actual dogma of like you going through the system of okay, now you're going to learn this. And then you're going to specialize in this particular sort of
your degree.
Degree, right? Yeah. So the degree is you just learn that degree to the point where you do your thesis, and then you master your thesis, then you get your doctorate in that, and then what do you do with it?
Right.
Yeah.
You become a professor, or you know, you pay a shit ton of student loans back, and then try and figure out, okay, like who's going to hire me? You know, I'm too educated.
Right.
You're either too educated, or you're going to be a professor somewhere.
Right. And look at the cost. And here's the thing. This is why I know education is going to be so different in 10 years. The cost of education is so fucking expensive. You go to a class, they charge you $200 for a book. In the age of the internet, you could stream that fucking thing to my phone or my iPad for 2 cents, and you're going to charge me $200 for a book.
Yeah. Dude,
and I have to sit in this classroom. Right now. Yeah. It's insane. It doesn't make any fucking sense. I'm going to get...
Oh, it'll change, bro. You're right.
You learn more from TED Talks now than... I seriously learned more from TED Talks than I did at from my professors college.
Here's what's funny. I train a lot of very educated professionals, and they always ask me, wow, Sal, where'd you get your education? Where did you learn? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Santa Teresa High School. Like, I have no formal education.
I love to tell people that I didn't finish. You know, yeah. I went a little further. I mean, I took a little over 2 years of college, but it took...
You're far more educated than I am.
Right.
You're the genius.
You
are.
It's like having the accolades. A lot of people like to like have this like title and like, you know, present themselves in such a way. But I went through the system. I got my degree, you know, all this kind of stuff. And really, like, it wasn't until I got away from that I started to research shit on my, you know, on my own and really start to like digest everything and see, okay, like, wow, like I can use this and learn for myself and find my own passions. And like, it wasn't until I took full ownership myself where I actually started learning. It's crazy.
Oh, it's so true.
I like digested a lot of it in school, but like, you know, you don't even really... I'm like, what am I going to do with this?
I'll tell you one that's funny is that when I remember this, it's crazy. It's one of those memories that just stand out. You know, you have those just random stuff, right? I forgot what happened the day before and the day after, but I can remember going to college and my first day of classes and everything. And just, I was excited. I was ready for this like new venture in my life, and that this is like high school is just high school and junior high is just junior high. Like, now I'm a man, right? Mm-hmm. And when you're young, you can't wait to grow up and
be
like,
a man,
right? And be a man. And you know, at this point in my life, I'm gonna learn about what I'm gonna do the rest of my life. Like, I'm like going in with these expectations of like college is going to mold me, right? Yeah. So it really changed me, which I'm sure there's some people out there that would say it would. But I tell you what, after going sitting through all my classes for the day, and at the end of the day, going like, fuck, that was just like high school. Yeah. Wait a second. It just was,
it's purgatory.
I don't have to show up now. The teacher pretty much made that clear.
Yeah.
And it sounds like I have to go purchase my books. Okay, that's different. And it sounds like if I really want to not do all the like in the between work, I can just come for the test and see if I can pass this class without. And that's literally became my attitude for like the first year and a half.
Yeah.
Like, how little can I go and get past all this shit?
Yeah.
That was like literally, my mentality. Like,
that's horrible.
I'm like, let me show them how smart I could be. Like, I don't need to go to class every day.
Well, see, one of the reasons
I did that too.
It's so true. And one of the reasons why college is so expensive, actually one of the main reasons, is we've sold this idea that you have to go. So everybody feels they have to go to college. And then because it's so sold that you have to go, you get easy money to go to college. So getting a grant or getting a loan, a student loan in particular, is very easy to go to college. So as a result, if you're a university and you've got all these students applying and money's no object because the government continues making it easier and easier and easier to get loans, you're building $5 million stadiums, you're building these huge gyms, these huge auditoriums. Now it's $100,000 for a four-year degree at a private college. This is one of the reasons. If they remove that, you know what would happen? You'd see free market take over and you'd see other alternatives. You would go to a bank and say, I want a loan for school. And they'd say, well, what's your degree going to be? And you're like, women's studies. And they're like, you're not getting a loan because you're not going to be able to pay us back. you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's why college has gotten so, one of the reasons why it's gotten so goddamn expensive, when we should have things like vocational schools. You know, why doesn't a company, and this is going to happen, I'm sure companies like Apple and, you know, Cisco and some of these big tech companies are going to say, hey, high school students, come here, learn with us for a year, and then we'll give you this certificate, and maybe you'll work for us, maybe you won't, but we'll teach you a bunch of stuff, and it's only going to cost this much, and it's going to be much more specific, and it's going to be so much cheaper. Or online universities, which are blowing up.
Not put it past someone like Google or Apple
It's going to happen. We have the student loan bubble, which is about to burst, which could, you know, cripple us. It's something in the hundreds of millions of all these people who can't pay back their loans.
What do you think, okay, along those lines, what do you think are like the maybe three top professions to be a part of, like today or like in the future, as far as like, you know, if you're gonna learn something, you know, what are probably the most profitable ways to go?
Well, profitable, I think, number one, you got to do something you enjoy because then you'll be good at it. But if you're just looking straight at the industries, you have technology, health services because of the aging population. Petroleum engineering right now is exploding with things like fracking and stuff like that. Probably environmental sciences because of all the stuff that goes into, you know, what's happening right now with the environment. Those are the ones I can think about. But anything in tech.
Yeah.
But then again, tech is making other industries explode as well.
Yeah.
So like you look at like taxi, you know, taxi cars. You're like, well, how much money can they make? Boom. Uber comes out.
I know. Uber.
And well, it's going to get valued at like $40-50 billion, you know, because...
That's insane.
Is it really grown to that already?
Well, yeah. No, it hasn't grown that much, but they're trying to. I might be wrong, but I believe they're working with Goldman's right now, and they might be getting IPO.
Goldman Sachs.
Yeah, and the valuation will be probably around $50 to $100 billion. So, and I might be incorrect. I got this off of my cousins who are financial advisors. I'm not very much of an advisor, but.
And you know how they all like got started, right? It was this whole concept of like fast moving technology. Right. So they basically overpowered that entire industry because they moved so fast that they couldn't regulate it.
That's right.
And so like this is kind of the trend within all the tech companies and all these people coming through is like, let's like innovate this one section, you know, of the market, and let's do it so fast that they can't regulate us.
Well, that's free market power, free market. That's actually anarchy. In
I like spirit. To see it. Like I want to see that in other industries. It. You know, like
bring it,
do it.
Yeah, anarchy. We'll end it on that.
Anarchy.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.